with some water in your cup is what you have to start. That's because it's tap water.
I know where it came from.
What's that? I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Board of Directors of Oceano Community Services District, March 9th, 2005 meeting. Could I have a roll call, please?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Mann.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Please join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Brings us to item number three on the agenda, board member items for discussion. I'll start with Vice President Mann.
Nothing.
Dave?
I have nothing right now.
Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to mention to the public, this coming Monday, March 14th, we're having a Parks and Recreation meeting here at 5 o'clock. And Oceano, moving to the future, forward with the town, we need more parks, we need more recreation here in Oceano. There's a lot of issues that to work out to get this. Funding is limited. Finding sources and ways of funding. We have a few avenues here at Oceano to possibly find some funding.
Conservation District, and she is wishing to sponsor a meeting, which I believe would be Thursday, March 17th, to discuss possible Zone 1-1A effects and the potential for the state to take over the maintenance of Arroyo Grande Creek and possibly some alternatives to that takeover by the state. So that meeting would be Thursday, I believe, March 17th. I believe the time is tentatively scheduled for 3 p.m. And I don't have, do you know, Mitch, if that was going to be held here?
It's going to be held here. I believe that the Zone 1-1A is at 3, and it's, I thought this other meeting was at 5.
It would be 5 o'clock. That may be the case, maybe after the regular Zone 1-1A meeting. I know that when I got the notice from her, it was very late, and they hadn't worked out all the details. So anyone in Zone 1-1A, which is generally for Oceano, that would be properties to the south of Pier Avenue and south of Highway 1 are immediately adjacent to Highway 1. And generally the flood zone there would be residents that are directly affected. So any of you that are in that area that wish to attend, that meeting would be held at that time. Brings us to item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. We'll listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. I would request that you limit your presentation to 3 minutes. We have quite a few people in the audience tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this and everyone get a chance to talk. So is there any public comment?
Good evening, Supervisor Hill, members of the board. It has come to my attention that you're being asked about CDBG funding and other funding that has been available for Oceano. What I have done is prepared a list to one for each member of the board and an additional one for your... Sorry. That shows in the, at least within the term that I've been in office, how much money we have been able to bring to Oceano. It be through SLOCOC, through CDBG, through First Five Commission. The first two items are from the Board of Supervisors. The other two are somehow I'm involved with, such as the First Five Commission, which I've been chairing it for the last
5 years. I've been a member of the Board of Supervisors for the last 6 years, and here I am today speaking to you as a 4th District Supervisor. And for your records, I'm Kacho Shajian. So I'll be glad to give you some, and I have a couple of extra copies. I have given a copy to Ms. Wilson, to her as the chair of the Oceano Health Advisory Council. So these are numbers. Please look at them. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call me. There are a couple of areas that I would have liked to have made it much clearer than it is, as where is this funding, where is it coming from, where is it going. But I'll be happy to work with you to be able to do a better job. But for the time being, because this took quite a time, and it's addressed to Ms. Gabriel, and the request came from her. I did mail her one in the mail, and I thought since it has come to your attention too, you would appreciate to get to know how much has come to Oceano. And if we were to be able to take the monies that have been available per person, we've been able to bring more money to Oceano than any other part of the county. Proud to say that. So here's 6 copies, if I may.
Pass them down to you.
Please.
If you have any questions, I'll be happy to be here.
You're going to hear about vector control, as Mr. Hill and I had a discussion about it. If you have any future questions after you hear the presentation this evening, I'll be happy to come back and talk about it. The board, I may say that we are supportive of vector control. The areas where we're having problems as where is the money going to come from? How are we going to assess the entire county? Who benefits from the control? And what areas, if it's how much we assess farmland, how much we assess residential, how much we assess businesses, and if you live in an apartment that you rented, but you have a benefit from this control, now do you pay tax as a rental or lessee? So those are all technical items that we haven't been able to find a comfort zone for us to make a decision. But we have been able to put enough money for the rest of the fiscal year, which expires in June, with the environmental help to maintain the staff to do what they're doing as far as reaching out to the public, educating the public, and do what they can do with the amount of money, be to visit with you individually or call me to come back and be happy to join you. I'm going to rush out of here because I have a meeting with the Altrusa, and the topic is the Oceano Library, which hopefully in a few months we'll open the doors and we'll take pride in that project coming forward the way that it has. Any questions? Sure, ma'am.
Thank you, Kacho.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions from the board? Other public comment for the board?
I need to ask for some clarity. Nina Rabiel did give me a report to read under public testimony or testimony for her. She gave me a copy for you. Would it be under this item or later on? Like,
I'll have to. You can talk about it now or later, as long as it's 3 minutes.
And then, secondly, as appointee for Mr. Bookout on the special task force, I also have a written report on that. Do you want to do that later? Or?
That would you like to?
When we do that under fire items.
Under fire items, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so I have a copy here from Nina. Do you want me to summarize it, or?
If you could, that'd be appreciated.
Okay, and then in the next packet, could her letter possibly be included in the next packet under written testimony, under the minutes?
I'm sorry, the report of the task force is not on the agenda.
That's okay, so we can't do that. No.
Yeah, okay.
But that doesn't answer my question.
If you can summarize her comments and yours and.
But I'm asking it in the next board packet that goes out for the next meeting, can her letter be included as submission of written testimony?
I don't know why not.
I think under the Brown Act, it's fine.
We have action minutes
that recite what occurred. So in the normal course of events, the minutes would simply recite that the letter was provided. They wouldn't, you would not attach the minutes to the, or you'd not attach the letter to the minutes. Otherwise, your minutes might grow.
Okay, in that case, thank you for the clarity. So in that case, then I'll read them and not summarize them. I just want to let the public know about the website where they can find all sorts of interesting information. The website is msn.com/OceanoCalifornia. One of these items on the website is the county sidewalk ordinance, which tells the criteria by which you are required to put in a sidewalk. If your project does not meet the criteria, then you are exempt and don't have to put in a sidewalk. Just to go to the link that says documents and you'll find it. Also, I spoke to Supervisor Cacho, and excuse me if I mispronounce your name, a while back, and one of the things I expressed to him was that many residents in Oceano felt the county was doing not enough for the Oceano area. He sent me the written report that he said under the CDBG block grant, which totaling over $6 million, and that's a summary of her paragraph. Finally, in regards to the fire department funding, I'm not clear as to what the survey is all about or why it is required. First of all, back in December, this board told me that funding for the fire personnel came from our property taxes and that funding for fire capital improvements came from building permit fees, which the county collects. The county is perfectly willing to give those monies collected to Oceano. So why do we have to go through the added expense of a survey and the added administrative expense of collecting fees, recording, and et cetera, et cetera? And then she does quote a part of the Brown Act, which is 54954.2A, paragraph 2. The board or its staff can answer questions posed by the public during a public comment. So if you're going to change or increase anything in my life, okay, got it. Secondly, if you want to insist that we have a survey to see if people want to trust OCSD with collecting the fees, which because of my personal experience, which I'll leave that out, then the survey should also ask the people of Oceano if they would consider another option available to them, namely joining the services of the Oceano Fire Department with the Pismo Fire Department, which we've seen in the paper recently, which would save us thousands of dollars annually in administrative costs. And then she does include a couple questions for the questionnaire, and I'm sorry if I sabotaged your comment. That's why I would rather have it in the minutes. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Mark?
Mark Wampler, Oceano. I just want to say thanks that the couch that was in the alley. I
placed myself on the way to tonight's meeting. No, I did not. It was simply new bath soap. It was a mistake. We don't need to say more. I can see out of them, believe me. I would very much like to remind your board that Oceano has been surveyed many times in the past for many reasons. And some of the sentiments just echoed by the previous speaker are things that should and I believe must be heeded. I do not support the idea of the survey that you're proposing. That's for a number of reasons, and I think you're opening Pandora's box. And I would like to remind some of you who have not been around the track as many times on this as some of us who've been here a long time. We've been here before. It is a track. It winds up nowhere. You just get more deeply mired in the muck of no accountability and unanswered questions. Cacho standing here tonight answering the questions that he answered in the way he did was, to quote Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again for those of us who've been here. We know. People are coming forward. This is a good thing. But they're asking the same questions people were asking 10 years ago in Oceano. And those who do not understand the history are doomed to repeat it. And it's very important that we don't repeat what's going on today in Oceano. Tomorrow. And also, I would like to remind the board that, yes, we were discussing joining up with our neighbors in terms of firefighting resources and training and effort. And I know that we were told that we would be looking about a year out when all this came up, and we're just about coming up on that year out. And I know that some of us have to giggle when the idea of getting together with Pismo Beach to fight fires is brought up, but that's just, again, you have to forgive some of us. We've just been around and we know too much. But nonetheless, we were talking about getting together with Arroyo Grande and AG. I think that has merit, particularly since some of us know how much help they've been to us over the last year with regard to equipment usage and training and so forth. So I hope that we're moving toward that, and I'm available for anyone who has questions about what I have to say to you. Thank you.
Thank you. On that subject, I would like to make one comment, and that is I'd like to thank the city of Arroyo Grande for helping us out by loaning us some pagers for our fire department. That's been very helpful, and they've also come forth with training opportunities for our fire department. That's been helpful, and we appreciate the support of the city of Arroyo Grande and the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Fire Department in that in those matters. Other public comment? Hearing none, brings us to review and approval of the minutes from the February 23rd meeting.
President Hill, on page 2, there under item 7, there needs to be a correction. The motion was made by President Hill and seconded by Director Angelo. The minutes reflect that the motion was made by Vice President Mann and seconded by Director Dahl.
Okay, I thank you. I note the correction there. Is there any other comment on the minutes?
I'll move and accept the minutes.
Was that as corrected?
Yes,
that's correct. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes with the correction to item 7A that the general manager brought up. Is there any comment from the public on the minutes? Hearing none, bring it back to the board. All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Brings us to item 6, reports. We have Commander Basti from the Sheriff's Department.
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board, staff, and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. My apologies for missing last month's meeting, but that's what happens when you have several on the same evening. You have to take a choice. So let me get you caught up. One thing that was brought back from last meeting was the number of narcotic arrests, or there was some problems with some folks that are still dealing narcotics. A couple of issues. Of the 40-some arrests from last month, the 12 of those here in Oceana were for narcotics-related offenses. Keep in mind, we're only a third of the system. The other two is the district attorney's office and the judges. The people of the state of California voted in POP 36, which gives basically those that possess small amounts two or three free passes before there's actually some coming from Santa Barbara, where she did a number of planning and put together several folks. So we're moving forward. So the school here in Oceano, as well as those in the surrounding areas for Lucia Mar, are very well ahead of the curve. And lastly, coming up the next 2 months, we'll be raising funds for Special Olympics. The Torch Run, Law Enforcement Torch Run, is an international event. Here in the county, we have 800 athletes, and every law enforcement agency in the county raises funds. We do a Torch Run from the Southern California section. It starts in Mexico, and it starts up in the Bay Area. It runs through the county, and along the way, we raise funds. Last year, our county raised about $75,000 for those athletes, the Special Olympic athletes. So we'll be working on that, and I'll give you more updates if we have any events coming up. You're certainly welcome to participate, as well as come out and cheer on maybe those older folks that run a little slower. With that, is there any questions, comments, things that didn't get resolved last month?
I have a couple. One item is I've had a couple of complaints from residents in the mobile home parks on the south of Cienega about motorcycles or ATVs running along the creek levee. And I think that would be a major concern due to damage to the levee and the potential for flooding that we're all quite concerned about. Is there any kind of enforcement that can be taken for that?
Certainly, we can bring our quads up there and certainly patrol it. The problem being is two things. It's private property, okay? Those levees are owned by the folks that own the property directly behind it. Secondly, we made a recommendation through the county and through those folks. We met with them several months ago. They need to lock the gate. That's the first issue, and there is a gate over there. It needs to be locked and secured. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we did work with those folks, and we will patrol it. We have advised them where they need to call and when, and we'll send somebody up there. And then as it gets, of course, it gets drier, we don't want to be part of the problem in destroying it or creating something that's going to cause a leak. We have stuff where our bikes and the rest of the folks will patrol. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So we did meet with both of those on the owned park along Cienega. Mm-hmm. And each one of those property owners owns a chunk of that.
Okay. The second one is... We were told a month ago approximately that there were some positions available in the Sheriff's Department for deputies. Is that still available? Are there applications? If a person was interested in that, how would they go about getting an application? Where would they turn that in?
At the County Department of Personnel, which is at the currently at the courthouse annex, just below the Board of Supervisors. Being a civil service, all county employees are hired through the process, which is controlled by personnel. All our applications, screening, and everything else, and the testing process is coordinated and managed by personnel. They can contact personnel at 781-5959, or they can go to the county website. The county website continually posts all open and active and current either in-department promotionals or open list from outside the department, and we have continual hiring. We are currently working on lists for both correctional officers and deputy sheriffs. We have four in the academy, and we still have spots to fill. Mm-hmm. So they can contact county personnel as to when the testing and when those. They open up for certain periods, and there's some that are open, but since it is civil service, they control all that so that it keeps it fair and unbiased.
Good. And that phone number again was 781-5959?
Yes, sir.
And also on the county website?
On the county website under personnel.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions, comment from the public for Commander Basti?
I spoke to you on the phone. Oh, my name is Antonio Maldonado, and I'm a resident of Luciano. And I did go and pick up an application and so spoke to you about it. And they gave me the runaround from Oceano to the office in San Luis, from there to the city hall, from the city hall back to the office, and finally I ended up here with you. Okay, on the phone. Mm-hmm. On the phone. You were very nice, very, and asked that my granddaughter went to speak to you in person. But she didn't because she's almost finished school as an architect, and she said, I don't want to start another thing, so she left a message on the phone thanking me for the opportunity. But we would like to have some applications over here, even though we have to take them to San Luis.
Yeah, two things. I did speak to you on the phone. I'm not sure what happened to personnel, but if you were referred to a city, then that's not us because we're the county. You can file online. You don't have to go anywhere. The applications are online. You can file. But like I said, we don't control any of our testing because it is civil service. So personnel, the Department of Personnel, handles all of that. They don't. Hespo County website, that's where all the job and all the apps you can actually file online. So
well, anyway, thank you because you were very...
Thank you very much, and I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but that's we got to work with that system. Okay. You can come volunteer for us. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Again, thank you for putting us on the agenda.
Before you go, I have one comment with your permission, Mr. Hill. Peggy Wilson, Oceano. Because Commander Basti wasn't with us last month, we had some comments about lingering graffiti, and I'm happy to point out, although it's not necessary with his... Eagle Eye, as a law enforcement professional, I'm sure Commander Basti knows that the graffiti has been painted over both on the district and the 4th County District fences. But the good news is for all of us,
and your board, as of this weekend, the last remaining graffito was taken off the public or the privately owned fence across the street from us. And it took a long time before they were able to muster it up and do that. So it's a good thing for all of us, and I want to thank the Sheriff's Office for all the good work they did on that. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have an offer from Miners for their mismatch paint. They're going to give it to us for free, so we're going to work something out and see if we can't get a program, because private property is an issue for us to paint over. Public property, we used to have the community service folks that were serving out time. So we probably need to get back on that if it's going to flare back up again and become a major problem. But we do have some free paint. San Luis Paints was kind enough last time to go through. So maybe if we supply it, kind of direct them, we can get that done cooperatively.
And I'd like to thank Miners Hardware and also San Luis Paint for providing that. And thank you again to the Sheriff's Department for your good work.
Good. Thank you very much.
Item 6B, report by Steve Carnes from County Environmental Health. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
Thank you for coming down.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do it. Mr. President, members of the board, I'm Steve Carnes, County Environmental Health. I was asked to come speak about 5 minutes on what happens in the mosquito abatement program. It's not a lot of time. I could talk a lot about it, even though I'm still learning a great deal about it. But basically what we're doing now, we're entering our second year with mosquito abatement. Last year we were trying to train and had a big steep learning curve. We've been successful in acquiring, borrowing various different ways, some equipment and gear. We made our own traps so we could be kind of economical about it and get some longer running ones so we didn't have to spend quite so much time trying to set them and go collect them early in the morning or whatever. So we've made some progress. Let me tell you real quickly what the program consists of right now. Basically, we're doing surveillance. We start out looking for mosquito sources. We have some known sources in the county already from past history and complaints. We have some more from last year. And believe me, with the rain we've had this year, we're going to have a bumper crop of mosquitoes and lots of complaints. The complaints that we get early on, typically this time of year, starting already and probably going into through April, are what they call typically the stormwater mosquitoes. They're normally associated with nuisance biting and often daytime biting, but they aren't known to harbor or transmit disease. So most people believe no mosquito is a good mosquito, but in this case, because of our limited funds, we don't have a lot of resources. We aren't concentrating on anything right now except, or I should say, we're focusing right now on the mosquitoes that are capable of transmitting West Nile virus. And there are some of those species in this area, in this county for sure. We have 3 full-time technicians starting Monday. They were part-time. The board approved us to go to full-time, so we now have full-time staff. 3 people plus my time in trying to do some of these presentations and supervise the program. The surveillance consists of using this very sophisticated device here, a pod on the end of a pole, and we go out where we suspect there are mosquitoes breeding, and we actually literally try to scoop them up and try to find the larval stage. This is the stage we're trying to attack in our program right now. If we can keep the larval stages of mosquitoes from becoming adults, then they can't bite us, they can't hurt us. So this is where our focus is. We're using very benign, low-toxic materials for this purpose. If we can get somebody to turn over a pot and eliminate the water, we won't even use the benign materials. But they're commonly called BT and BS. They don't like you to call it BS, but that's the short version name for it. And these are naturally occurring bacillus that occur in soil all the time. They're processed. In this case, they're attached to granulated corn cobs. And we don't spray. We have not yet sprayed anything. So all of the treatment that we've done so far has been with this benign product, but it's broadcast in granular form. So nothing's been sprayed. Unfortunately, a lot of people refer to spraying, and that hasn't happened. The spraying, if it happens later on, will probably be for adult deciding, and as it stands now, it would have to be ordered by Dr. Thomas, the health officer, and what his trigger will be for that is not known yet, but it will undoubtedly involve human cases. We had 1 human case last year, all of last year. We anticipate there could be more just because we're going to have a lot more mosquitoes, and over the winter, these things before we start treating. We also have a lot of outreach. You may have seen these last year. These are yours to have. I can get you more if you need them, but if you can put them around various places, on one side we have English, the other side we have Spanish. It's called the Fight the Bite campaign. I coined a little program locally for ourselves called Be a Skeeter Defeater, and I have these little smaller version ones here that we're trying to get some media coverage on. We're hoping that if you can, in your newsletter or maybe with your bills or some way, if you can help us disseminate some of this information out for public education outreach, we'd appreciate that. Along that line, we have developed some various little handouts, West Nile virus, living with mosquitoes, and West Nile virus and horses. So I'll leave these with you, and again, I can get you more if you like those. If we get a call and we don't reach people, we have developed a little door hanger, and so we will say that we've attempted to help somebody reach them. Please call us and we'll come back. That's probably 5 minutes. I didn't watch the clock very closely, but
I didn't want to hold you to just 5 minutes.
Okay. So let me, if I have a couple more minutes, let me tell you about our priorities. We're trying to focus and concentrate our efforts around the highly susceptible populations, which would include senior citizens, school-aged children, and I would consider maybe some of the campers that are going to be camping along where there might be mosquitoes and they're not going to have a whole lot of protection with them probably while they're camping. So that'd be three examples of highly susceptible populations. To that extent, we're going to try to treat storm drains, standing water when we need to, when we get the triggers that indicate that we should. So that's our main focus. As we learn of new additional sites, we will make a great effort to try to get to them. But we do have, again, three people, technicians for the whole county. So with that, I'd like to at least give a chance for a couple of questions if there are any.
Okay, are there questions from the board?
The mosquitoes are already here.
They are here, we know.
I've been bit here. And poison would be really nice.
I'm sorry, the poison?
Poisoning would be really
Oh, poisoning?
Nice.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about when you get into spraying for adults, that's a very controversial subject. It requires more toxic materials, and you actually have to hit the individual mosquitoes to be effective. So you really have to hit a wide area with a lot of product. That's why it's much better to focus, if we can, on the larval stage, try to treat them and keep them from becoming adults.
What's the lifespan on the adults?
It varies with the species. All these things vary with the species. The flight distance can be 10 to 25 miles. That's another thing that makes it difficult to pinpoint where the mosquitoes are coming from. If you have an idea where yours are coming from, we'd be happy to try to help you find it and pinpoint it, and if we can, treat it. What happens is if we have the adults in the adult trap, we know they're there. Too late for them, but we're going to try to knock off the next couple of generations. And because of the low toxicity of the material we use, there's not much residual. So once we treat, we have to come back and retreat in about 3 weeks. And if we do that repeatedly, eventually we have a pretty good chance of knocking out the adults for the future. But we won't be able to take those back, obviously. What's this? Any other questions I can answer for you? I have some cards I'll leave if I can answer any of your questions later. I'll leave these also for anybody.
We appreciate that and the material. And can we put those out in the district, the front office, so that if there's tips that you have for residential homeowners, such as pouring out water that might collect in flower pots and that kind of thing, that we can disseminate that information for you as much as we can.
Right. Actually, there was a second phase to this. We're going to work with some of Mitch's staff or your staff. I'm not sure which way that works. And actually go out with them and try to look for some sites together. So the more we can do cooperatively, the better we can expand our services.
I know Bill has expressed interest in that. And Dave is another one who's expressed interest in the whole project. So
sure.
the entire board is very interested, as is the staff. And all the residents of Oceano are concerned. This has obviously been a high water year.
Right.
And there's a lot of standing water around that might tend to breed mosquitoes in the area.
Yeah. If you'd like to, either one of you or all of you want to go on a ride-along, we can arrange that. We've got a video that we're finishing up probably Friday that will be on the public access channel. So we're doing all we can to get the word out. I just put out a letter to the screen distribution manufacturers, repair people, businesses in the county, seeing if they're willing to go in with part of our Be a Skeeter Defeater campaign and do a promotion, maybe a low-cost discount on some repairs for screening. So we're trying a multi-prong approach. We're going to do all we can. And when it comes right down to the bottom line, we'll never eliminate all the mosquitoes. Nobody will. No district will. But you do need to take some common precautions, and that's part of the 5 Ds of defense, the repellents, the long sleeves, staying out at dusk and dawn where there's mosquito areas, that kind of thing. So if we can help you anytime, like I said, I got a bunch of cards here. Give me a call, and we'll do all we can to get with you and the citizens as well. Okay. I have a question, Jim. Max Cordillo, do you have this information in Spanish by any chance?
We have a great need for more translations. This one poster is in Spanish. Okay. I have some of the information, flyers in Spanish.
Came forward with a project and a proposal for a will serve letter on a three-property split at the corner of, I believe it's 19th and Wilmar Street, OCSD project number 6195. And in order to look at that item, we would have to move to reconsider the action taken as item 8A on August 28th of 2002. And then if we do that, then we would make any other recommendation that that we might desire to make on that.
Mr. President, I've been working quite a bit on this this issue with the applicant, and been working with staff as well. And we have something that is going to work for both the applicant and the staff, where there's some open space there that's available to where that 28 feet is no longer required because of this open space that's now available. And actually, I'm at this point prepared to make a motion that that this be allowed to be a 20-foot road instead of 28.
I appreciate that, but I think the first motion we would have to entertain would be to reconsider the
that would be the reconsideration, that it was no longer the motion was that it was a 28-foot required.
I think what we need is we just need the motion just to reconsider, then we can go to the next motion.
I can make
So just to reconsider and then go on.
Okay. I'll make a motion to reconsider the board action of August 28, 2002 concerning a will serve letter for OCFD project 6195 team.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, been moved and seconded that we reconsider the action of August 28th, 2002. Any board discussion on that item?
Point of information. So when it comes back on the next agenda?
No, it's notice for this agenda, but the first order of business is, since the board has taken action, if you want to reconsider it, you have to have a motion to reconsider.
And then we can reconsider it this evening?
Then you can reconsider it right now.
Okay, thank you.
Dave, any question on it? Okay. Public comment on reconsideration?
My name is Pamela Dean, and I live in Oceano, and I would wish to tell Vern to remove that from the docket. I do not wish to go along with what we have looked at, mainly in response to a phone call. I just was not very pleased with that, and I would like to speak on behalf of my project, myself. So I want to thank... Go ahead.
Do you want us to reconsider this tonight, then, or not?
That's the motion and second right at the moment is to reconsider it. And if we choose to reconsider it, then we'll
get to the merits.
Then we'll get to
the merits. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
We're not to the merits yet.
Okay.
So, at this point, I guess we're just
go ahead.
Looking to.
Okay.
To reconsider.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had made my motion to.
I'd like to ask the applicant one question first before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that you want this reconsidered at this meeting or at another meeting.
I want it reconsidered at this meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So call the question then.
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I would urge you all to vote in the affirmative to reconsider this issue. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Roll call, please, Gina.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Gall?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Angela?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to actually reconsideration of the item. As I understand it, the original request was for a 20-foot fire access.
I thank you, President Hill and members of the board, for reconsideration of this matter. I would not be before the board tonight if the standards and principles the boards applied to my project on August 28, 2002 were legally instituted by the district. As you know, this was a new policy to increase the fire access road width requirement from 20 to 28 foot wide, which is more restrictive than the uniform fire code adopted by OCSD. To my knowledge, there has been no resolution passed or any other change in the district's fire safety material reflecting this new standard. The district told me when the board took action that everyone else would be held to the standard. I went before the board in August 2002 with the knowledge that conditions placed on my project were more stringent standards than any other I had seen, and some of my will serve conditions included requirements for a 40-foot wide fire access road, and then it was a 36-foot wide fire access road. The county only required 18-foot for my private driveway. Then I had a requirement for multiple fire hydrants less than along my private driveway, which was 140 feet long, when I have a fire hydrant less than 100 feet away from my property. I had a requirement for a fire apparatus turnaround, even when the driveway didn't exceed 150 feet in length. And I was forced to wait for over a year for a fire safety letter that others receive in a matter of weeks. And finally, the need for a fire access road is all very questionable given the fact that my property is bordered on two sides by public roads. I accepted the board's finding back in August 2002 that a 20-foot wide road with an additional 8-foot width for parking was required because I had no other recourse. I still had doubts about OCSD's right to require parking, and I thought this was a county planning decision. The county did not indicate that extra parking was required for my project, and I have never seen another OCSD will serve letter in which parking was a condition of approval, nor have I seen any other OCSD documentation which would set guidelines for determining how much parking is required. As I've said before, I can and will enforce no parking on my private driveway. This is not a public road and would not require Sheriff's Department parking enforcement. In summary, I'm not here tonight to ask the district for any special consideration. I'm asking that the district follow their own adopted rules and to apply these rules to everyone. I'm here to resolve this matter not only for myself, but to try to ensure that this never happens again to anyone else in the community. And finally, I want to make it clear that the problems I have encountered are in no way a reflection on our firefighters or our fire chief, who I believe are doing a good job. I thank you for this.
Thank you. Looking at the material that...
let's just do a motion.
That I've been given on this, this board has had a problem in the community, and the problem is one of unequal treatment, and the prior president of the board asking to take this into closed session and so forth disturbs me greatly. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say the prior president, meaning DeVern is the prior president, and he did not do that. This was Bill Senna when he was the president of the board. And it appears to me, and I've been told by many people in the community, that there's uneven treatment of people in the district. The material that goes with this pretty much proves that to the casual observer beyond a doubt. And I would hope that from now on, people would be treated evenly in this district, even-handedly. I don't care if somebody has come in and had a disagreement with the district about something or not. I want people in this district to be treated equally and fairly in all dealings with the board and respectfully. And what appears to me to be punitive treatment at the hands of Mr. Senna and some others is unacceptable. It can no longer be tolerated in this community. And I'm appalled at the treatment that some of our
excuse me.
Ms. Mann's turn to talk, please.
I think you might perhaps stop and think that oftentimes staff does what the president of the board tells them to do. So, you know, think about that when you're
I understand
on.
That, and I do know that the one of the past presidents of this board apparently has put up with unfairness and unequal treatment that I don't intend to tolerate.
Well, none of us do. It's not just one person on this board, Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate your expression of support.
I would like us to make a motion to do the 20-foot, if that's what Ms. Dean wants. And then I would, after we do that, then I would like this to be not her project, but the idea of the width of the roads or the entrances be sent to the proper committee to come up with a footprint or plan that will be what is the norm for the district. But so first I would like to make the motion for the 20-foot driveway.
Okay. Been moved to have the 20-foot driveway on this property?
I would like to second that motion, but I would also like to reiterate our alleyways, which we access to get to a lot of our housing and a lot of our future development in Oceano goes through alleyways, are 20-foot. Our Strand Avenue is a 20-foot alleyway. And this is kind of a standard in a lot of sections of Oceano.
Well, let's take care of the first. Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm seconding
your
motion.
Okay. Been moved and seconded. Other board discussion? Thank you, Barbara. I know that the board is interested in making sure that everyone in the community is treated equally. And I appreciate your recommendation. I hope we can agendize that for a committee meeting, as you suggested. That's a great idea to look at our standards and make sure that we do have standards that are well communicated, easily understood, carefully thought out, and appropriate for our circumstance. So I appreciate your suggestion on that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any comments from members of the public? Hearing none.
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. President Hill, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your obviously deeply felt expression of sentiment with regard to fairness and equality. And Mrs. Dean and her family have been dragged through what to even an interested observer would have to call an inexplicable and deeply, deeply costly nightmare for all the reasons you just cited and many more. And as Mrs. Dean pointed out, parking is at the core of this fiasco. And with regard to equality, what she's been subjected to is part of an inequality that the entire area where we live in our neighborhood in that part of Oceano suffer the consequences of. Our whole neighborhood has been subjected to unequal treatment under the law. And I am connecting these dots up for you because, unlike some of you, I was in the room. I heard the discussions when Ms. Dean's property was targeted for that first closed session meeting. And the discussion was that that property would solve the parking problem for the community center. I was in the room. I've heard it discussed more than once. So that's the genesis of the nightmare that this neighbor has been through. And I have walked part of that way with her. I was an eyewitness to terrifying things. And those terrifying things haven't all ceased. So thank you again. Thank you for reconsidering this. Thank you for doing this. It's justice long overdue. It's only one bite out of the elephant. And folks, not only should this not have happened in Oceano, this shouldn't happen in America. Thank you.
Call the question, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's okay. I accept your apology. Mary Lucy Oceano. I appreciate
that the staff understands clearly that is the board has expressed tonight is our desire to throw off the chains of the past and continue on a new path of treating people equally with respect and in a timely fashion to get their properties and their projects moving forward. And I would expect that this applicant would have no further trouble dealing with our district after we pass this item. Other public comment?
Daniel Maldonado, Oceano residents. Thank you, Mr. Hill, for bringing this and your honesty. It's beginning to show. I really appreciate this because we have been hassled for the last 30 years. It's not only this board, it's others before them. Okay, that they just cover. We come in here, we give our comment and say, well, we need this, we need that, and we need to be done. And they just give us a runaround and don't do anything about it. They vote among themselves and that settles it. The public voice doesn't count. Well, I'm glad it's beginning to count now. Thank you very much, all of you. God bless you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, call the question, please.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Thank you. Brings us to item 7A, report of district department heads. Is there any questions on the reports that are included in the packet? Phil, I understand you wanted to talk about the. I guess that's a little bit later item. On the cleaning of sewer lines. Is there any public comment on the department head reports as shown in the packets? I guess we can order them received and filed. Brings us to item 8A, the Safe and Sane Fireworks Program.
Excuse me, President Hill, do we receive and file the department head reports?
Yes. Item 8A, the Safe and...
Yeah, I'm at an hour. You want to go for a break?
Okay, I've been requested for a break. Let's take 5 minutes.
You have to put Nina's report in the minutes. You've got to do that.